Our scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. You can find it on page 681. Which is not numbered, but it is just before 682. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. We all at times have different addresses. We are addressed by words other than our names. Sometimes we are called terms of affection, dear or sweetheart or honey, or more peculiar. Terms of affection. Sometimes we are referred to through titles of respect: your honor, your eminence, your doctor, reverend, esquire. All the letters that go before or after names: PhD, FDIC, things like that. Some of us go by nicknames or shortened forms of our birth name. Instead of Michael, Mike, or Chael, as one of my children calls me occasionally. Funny. What?
Funny.
Not so funny. But this nomenclature, what we call ourselves or what we call others, says something about us, about our relationship with those addressing us. And so this morning, as we continue to look at what the people of the Christmas story are called, we have to consider that when a resident of heaven calls Joseph, a relatively uncommon title, son of David, it should cause us to sit up and to contemplate what it means. And I want to, from this passage, jump ahead a little bit. I will get back to verse 18, but what I want to begin with is looking at verses 20 to 21. actually 20 to 23. When he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The first thing we want to consider today is that on his worst night ever, God reminds Joseph of his plans. Joseph has had a tough day, and he tries to get some sleep. And while he is asleep, an angel appears to him in a dream and addresses him as Joseph, son of David. The angel reminds Joseph of who he is. "You are the son of David. You are in the royal line. You are in the messianic line." 2 Samuel 7, verses 11 and 12 say, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your father, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom." Psalm 132, verse 11 says, "The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne." Son of David, you do not need to worry. You do not need to fear your future, because God knows who you are. God knows the promises he has made to you. God knows his word will not return void. And you are in a long line of promises kept. But not only does the angel remind Joseph of who he is, that he is a son of David, he is in the royal line, the messianic line, that the King of Kings will come through him. The angel reveals who Mary is. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Because, as he says in verse 20, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Your son has been conceived by a virgin through the Holy Spirit. Matthew, in an editorial comment, declares that Mary, like we talked about last Sunday, is the unmarried, marryable young woman spoke of in Isaiah 7:14. Mary has done nothing wrong. You need not worry. You need not fret. You need not fear. And while you cannot fully comprehend what is happening, you can apprehend it. You can hold on to it. That what is in Mary has been conceived through the Holy Spirit. She is a faithful woman. But then the angel reports who the child is. That his son is to be named Jesus, which is also what the angel told Mary in Luke 1:31. He will be given the name Jesus. What he says to Joseph, "You will give him the name Jesus." Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, is translated, "The Lord is salvation." And that's why the angel says, you are given to give him the name Jesus, because he is the one who will save his people from their sins. Ultimately, this child is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 12. The promise that God makes that one will come who will bear the sins, who will be nothing to look at, but he will bear the sins. All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. Joseph was visited by a heavenly messenger and was addressed by a title of respect. He was allowed a glimpse behind the curtain and a glance at the future, not only for himself, but for all the people to come. This child, which you want to abandon, is the child that you were promised. It must come through your line. You are a son of David, and your son is a son of David. He is the one who will be the salvation of God's people. What a blessing it is to know that God has a plan for us. Second thing. Now let's go back to verse 18. Knowing God has a plan for us does not eliminate life's challenges. Mary and Joseph were in the center of a scandal. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. She was betrothed. She was engaged. She was given by her family to Joseph. But it is at the time, and in some places in the world even today, it is a process. It is not simply a man saying or a woman saying, hey, significant other, let's get married. Let's just go to the justice of the peace. Let's just go to Las Vegas and get married. No, there was property involved. There was contracts involved. There was families involved, to where Mary and Joseph were pledged to be married. An irrevocable union. Dowries were paid. But in the process between the agreement and the reality, Mary is discovered that she is pregnant. Now it seems that Joseph found out somehow. Maybe Mary told him. Maybe he noticed. Maybe he could put two and two together. But it was discovered. She was found to be with child. She was pregnant through someone other than Joseph. W.H. Auden, wrote a poem. And the refrain of the poem is this: Mary may be pure, but Joseph, are you sure? How is one to tell? Suppose, for instance, well, maybe, maybe not. But Joseph, you know what? your world, of course, will say about you anyway. Maybe she's telling the truth. Maybe it is from the Holy Spirit. Maybe she revealed, an angel came to me and I'm carrying the Messiah. And maybe it's true, but that doesn't stop the whispering. It doesn't stop the rumors. It doesn't stop the fact that people are going to find out. So what does he do? He makes the best of a mess, the best of a bad situation. He was a righteous and godly man. And he considers what the law says. Deuteronomy 22 says that an unfaithful woman is subject to stoning. But he says, that's not what I want. But he could bring a charge against her. Probably wouldn't be stoning in that day and age, but it would be shame and disgrace. But Joseph is unwilling to do that. He doesn't want her to be shamed. He does not want her name to be disgraced. And so he determines to make a compromise. We will divorce quietly, which would mean probably going to the city gate early in the morning, before most people are aware and awake. And once there are two community leaders, a matter can be determined, and he can talk to his friends who are by the city gate and say, this is my problem. Can we keep it amongst ourselves? But I'm breaking my deal. I'm breaking my contract because of her unfaithfulness. And so that's what he determines to do. But we know that he doesn't fulfill that plan. What Mary and Joseph were called to endure would have been no small thing. Family was the system of that day. And so to break your family would have had serious consequences. The road of the righteous can be rough and it can be risky. And in that moment, God sends a messenger to say, you are not alone. And he says it to us as well. You are not alone. You are not alone. God sees you. God knows who you are. God knows the situation you are in. And yes, it will be challenging, but you will succeed. Because the third thing we know is that knowing God has a plan enables us to conquer life's challenges. We know God's presence. All this took place to fulfill, this is verse 22, what the prophet had said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was with Joseph. God was with Mary. God was with them. Like I said Sunday, there is no accounting for where Jesus was called Emmanuel. And maybe it was what Joseph called him. All the times that he might have thought of doing something else, of going somewhere else, of dealing with it in a different way. There's my little Manny. just a way of embracing the reality that God is with us. Just a touchstone to remind us, whatever we are going through, loss, injury, scandal, God is with us. God is with us. He knew God's presence. He followed God's pathway. He did just as the angel had said. Take Mary to be your wife. He married Mary. He remained pure until after the baby's arrival, and he named the child Jesus. The one thing, maybe the most important thing in Bible times, and we see this by the naming of John the Baptist. If you're not familiar, you can look at Luke chapter 1 about the naming of John the Baptist. But the Father was the one who said, this is what my child's nature is going to be. This is what my child's character is going to be. This is who my child will be, for good or for ill. I'm going to name my, like the Old Testament, is it Hosea? Not my people. That's what I'm going to name my child. Not my people. So that every time you see him, you'll know you are not part of God's people. I'm going to name my child Laughter. Jacob, the deceiver. Isaac, Laughter. I'm going to name my child Jesus, Yeshua, because he is going to save his people from their sins. And then finally, he accepted God's purpose. He was called to be the stepfather, the present father, to the Son of God. He was called to provide shelter for the Creator of the universe. He was called to protect the life of the Almighty. And there is no record in Scripture. There is no account anywhere that Joseph ever wavered in his obedience. Joseph was called the son of David, and it made a difference in his life. And while we may not be addressed by the same title, we are called by God a number of terms of affection and a number of titles of respect. We are called a lamb. We are called his little ones. We are called his child. We are called a priesthood of believers. We are called his chosen people. We are called a peculiar nation. We are called the saints, the holy ones of God. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God's calling is greater than our challenges. While we may not face the challenges that Joseph faced, we will face unique challenges of our own. Friends will not understand the choices we make. Worries will keep us up at night. Plans will fall through in dramatically disastrous ways. Through it all, God has a plan. Through it all, He will give us the power to follow his purposes. We are his, and he is with us. God's calling is greater than our challenges. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you know us and that you call us your child, your friend, and that you have a calling for us. And while we may face real danger, real oppression, real pain, you are with us, and you will enable us to conquer. And for this, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.